conversational applications, or as we prefer to call them, bots, are very popular right now. Every company, small or large, is looking at building bots to address specific business needs. But are the scenarios for bots really justifiable? Are they supposed to help existing apps or replace them? Or should we just ignore bots completely because it's just a hype? Let us look at some of the typical scenarios we see companies working on and what we're learning from them. A certain news agency has a popular news reader mobile app. But they found out that users are spending more time in messaging applications and even sharing news that way. They also did a research and found out that their users typically spend an average of 1, maybe 2 hours driving, stuck at traffic, every day. Well, one thing you don't want to do is having your user playing with your mobile app while driving, right? So what if your news application was sort of context aware? What if understood when your phone is plugged into a car? And when that happens, the app became a virtual passenger that has a conversation with you and brought you updates on the news, answer your questions about specific topics, maybe updates around traffic conditions, and so on. So here's one interesting aspect of bots. They can adapt. They can run on your desktop, they can run on cars, they can run on rich UIs, they can work via speech only. All of that is possible with bots. And speech, it turns out, works especially well when typing is not an option, like when you're driving. Or maybe you're going for a run and you have your Bluetooth phones with you. So you can use the Microsoft Bot Framework to build a kind of scenario. Our cognitive services to manage speech-to-text and text-to-speech even train them to deal with specific kind of noise when doing speech recognition, like the kind of noise you get inside your car with your engine running on the background. And then use the Bots Framework Direct Line API to surface that bot right inside of your app. So your app is still in control, but now it offers a conversational interface with it. You can also build a voice-based bot on Skype, which allows you to actually call your bot and talk to it, not just text it. That's another option. Now, here's another scenario. Azure, which is our cloud platform, has this big web portal. That web portal is what developers and IT pros use to manage their resources on the cloud, right? Now, imagine that all I have with me is my phone. And I just need to immediately find and stop a virtual machine on Azure. Well, I have a couple of options. One is I can launch the browser on my phone, load the portal, log on, find in the menus the VMs and list the VMs, then find the VM I want to stop and stop it. That's one option. The second option is I can open Skype, still on my phone, find the Azure bot, and say, list VMs, stop VM name. I can do that on Skype in seconds. I really mean seconds. You can try it yourself. But I could have built an app that does the same thing, you'd say. Of course you can. And then you have to code natively for every platform, test it for every screen size, for every kind of device, then package it, publish on every app store. Let's face it, it's a lot of work. Now, let's say I switch from Skype from my phone to Skype on desktop, or vice versa. The same bot is there. It still knows who I am. It actually remembers what I've just did. It knows which VM I selected. It knows the command I just ran to stop the VM. You get all of that for free. We didn't have to write a single line of code to synchronize all this data across all these devices. Try to do that with a custom app. It's a lot of work. So a bot can follow you across all your devices and carry your settings with you, carrying your ID, carrying even your operations in that particular scenario. That happens for free. How do you build that? Well, actually, we already did. If you follow this URL, you can see the source code for Azure Bot and see how it works. You can even try that yourself on Skype or even other messaging applications if you want. It's really, really useful. Let's talk about another scenario. Most companies regardless of their size, have some kind of customer service call center. It usually goes like this. Customer calls, you then need to ask some very basic questions, some sort of triage, who are they, what they're trying to do, how can you help, get some basic information, right? And once you have that much data, you need to route them into their solution. The solution may be either something highly repetitive, many customers ask for the same thing, or something that will require quite some thinking, a more complex scenario. Now, how can bots help here? Well, first step is with the initial triage. Those repetitive questions can be coded into a bot. So basically the bot answers the call and becomes the first point of contact from the call center, asking all those repetitive questions you always have to ask for every customer that joins the call. And then it routes to the agent, who takes over from there, gets the answers, and moves on. Why would you do that? Well, first, it saves our customers time because they don't have to just keep sitting waiting on the line. They can start providing the data before we have somebody available to answer them. And we are also offloading the human resources that can do far more advanced tasks now and not just ask the repetitive questions over and over again because you already scripted that out for them. So that's one step we can take. And by the way, this can be done via speech or via rich UIs. Speech is interesting when typing is not an option. For example, you're receiving a phone call, so audio is all you've got. But a rich UI can often go a little bit further, so don't assume speech is always the best choice. Not at all. Once the bot has collected the basic triage data, we can now look at those common requests that happen a lot. Very often, those are very simple and don't require a lot of AI, actually. For example, many IT calls are from customers who forgot their passwords. What do we do when somebody forgets their password? Well, first, we need to validate the user's identity. So maybe ask for their social security number or send a text message or whatever the process is so we can validate who they are. And then we go and reset the password. After we do that, we give them a link so they can go and create a new password for them. It's very repetitive. It's very straightforward. It actually looks a lot like a recipe. And when things look like a recipe, you know what you can do? You can code them. So what you do is you code that solution to your bot. And now your bot can handle those repetitive cases. They are very simple. They don't require a lot of cognitive tasks around them. They can just solve the problem. And this leaves us with the last step, which is the one where we really need a human here. So the bot got to a point where it doesn't know how to help the user anymore. So it will need to hand off to a human. It needs a human in the loop. So there are basically two ways we can do that. Either a complete handoff, which means the bot tells the user, hey, thank you for all the details. I'm bringing John here, and John is going to take over from here. And John now has all the data from the conversation that already happened, so we don't have to repeat the questions. And John can take over and deal with the scenario that probably requires some escalation and some deeper analysis. That's one way of looking at it. There is a more interesting way of looking at it, which is the supervised handoff. In this scenario, the bot continues chatting with the user, but the operator is watching the conversation behind the scenes. For example, in this particular case, the bot was trying to help the user to troubleshoot a problem in their computer, but the user said the steps provided didn't work. His computer is not working. The bot now tells the operator, who is watching the conversation, it says, well, it looks like the user might need a hardware service. How should I proceed? And offer three options. Apologize to the user, suggest a hardware service, or let me type. So the operator now clicks at suggest hardware service. The bot then has already a script for dealing with this, for how to suggest a hardware service. So it takes over again and runs the task that the operator requested. But what's interesting about it is that the operator didn't have to type a single word to be in control of the whole situation. And that's what's interesting about many of those scenarios. Actually, the best bots, the most efficient ones out there, make users type less, not more. Because having to type a lot, it's just a terrible experience. You don't want that, right? Especially on your phone, same for talking. Can you solve the problems quicker? So, when designing a bot, always think about it. How can I make this easier, simpler, quicker? Buttons, for example, are great for that. Don't dismiss them. Another very common scenario we see a lot is when companies have a significantly large data set, which may be based on documents, it may be database records in a relational database, doesn't matter, and users just can't find anything. Can a bot help solve those problems? Well, it can with a few additional technologies. So let's think about it. If you have a database with 2,000 records of pure text and you want users to ask questions about this, just using natural language won't be enough. Trying to predict and model every permutation of questions users may ask in this large database, may have millions of records, will be too painful. You just can't predict everything users will ask. So this, in fact, is more of a search problem than a natural language problem. What we use then is things like Azure Search, our cloud-based search indexer, and we feed it with all this data you have that you want users to find in an easier way. And then we use the bot on top of it. But we have to do a few things with this data. One of them that's actually very useful is adding metadata. So for example, let's say these thousands of records are from a job search website. So one of the columns in this database is the job description. You may have another one that's the job title. Then you may have also metadata about payment, type of job, how much travel requires, all these other things that are also relevant in that job record. Users will readily describe in a single sentence all the details of what you're looking for. They won't say, oh, I'm looking for a job with this description, with this much payment that requires this much travel and blah, blah, blah. That doesn't happen, right? They will probably say something like, I'm looking for a job as an engineer. Now, that search would easily return thousands of items. So now what we need to do is offer some follow-up questions, some facets we can use to drill down into results. Same applies to questions and answers or knowledge base bot, very same principles. So it could be a database of problems and answers, it could be a database of frequently asked questions, whatever you have there. The more metadata you have, the easier it gets to help the user to refine their question. Ah, but I could do all of this using my website. I could still use Azure Search. I could still put all this metadata, and I can plug this on my existing website and make the search experience much better, you say. And I will agree with you. You can totally, and you should probably do it as well. Doing that in the bot adds a few other benefits. Like, for example, ease of access. I don't have to load a website. I'm on my phone, I'm straight on Facebook Messenger or Skype, and I can just ask a question and find the result. The simple UI that the bot offers, the guidance that the bot gives to the user is also very beneficial. It makes it easier for users to find what they want. Another interesting benefit is once I find what I want, if I'm on my phone, for example, I can now switch to my desktop, and as long as I'm on Skype, I can still see the same search result, so I don't actually have to email the result to myself so I can find it later. It, again, carries with me on every device I use. I can actually, you know what, if you use our website, you could have the bot running on your website, and you could use, for example, Skype Web Control, so you have a Skype UI on that website. And now that I found the search result for my question, I can close the website, open Skype on my desktop or on my phone, and the same search result is there. I didn't lose anything. Again, the settings carry over with me. So that's nice, isn't it? It makes it much easier. So if you want to know more about this, take a look at this GitHub repo for some samples on search-powered bots. So the key thing developers often forget, the key factor to make a bot successful, it's not really how much machine learning or natural language or even how much speech you add to your bot. Those things are not directly related to how useful it is. The key question that needs to be answered is this really helping my users to get what they want? Is it the easiest, fastest, simplest way to get a problem solved? For example, if you're building a bot to do exactly the same things as your app, you're probably wasting your time. A shopping bot to replace a shopping app, and all it can do is browse products, scroll across products, and buy them? What's the difference? What did you change? Doesn't sound very different, does it? Why would I use that? Now, a shopping bot that I can call, even from my car, I can have an audio call, and I can tell it, hey, I forgot to buy coffee. Please add coffee to my shopping list. And it knows what kind of coffee I want. It knows the quantity because I always shop with that particular bot. It knows my user ID from that particular website. That sounds like a problem that's worth solving, isn't it? That's much better. So keep this in mind. It may sound obvious at first, but user experience is everything, even when you're building bots.